Exodus chapter 14. And when you find your place, you can stand out of respect for God's word. And we'll look at the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pahaharoth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So we're not going to start directly in the text that we read. We'll start a little bit earlier. Exodus begins by God reintroducing himself to a fallen world. We saw in Genesis, God created the world, and after the fall, man grew farther and farther away from God. And then until eventually it got to the point where man forgot about God, essentially. And so God begins Exodus by reintroducing himself to mankind, and he starts with Moses. And we understand that Moses was one of the Hebrew children. They were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years by the time Moses came on the scene. And God introduced himself. Moses saw a bush. He was in the wilderness, and he was shepherding his father-in-law's sheep. And he saw a bush that was on fire, but it wasn't burning up. And so he went to the bush, and because, you know, typically when a bush catches on fire, you expect it to burn up. And so he was wondering what was going on. Turns out it was God in the bush. And God spoke to him. And God introduced himself to Moses as I am, the self-existent one. He called himself Jehovah. And we find later that this is a name that God hadn't, he hadn't revealed this about himself before. This is new information that he's giving to Moses. So before he had, the Hebrew children, they had known who God was, and they had known him as the Almighty God, which is basically saying that, okay, all the other gods that the nations have, I am better than all of them. And that's true, but it's not the full story. And so God reveals a little bit more about himself when he talks to Moses, and he says, not only am I better than all the other gods, they're not even on the same playing field that I am. They're not on the same level. I am above all of creation, every king, every nation, every army. I'm above all of it. And so this is how God introduces himself to Moses. And when he meets Moses, he tells him this. He says, Moses, my people are in captivity. And they've been there for over 400 years. And I hear their affliction and I hear their cry unto me. Now, Moses, you're going to lead my children out of their captivity. I want you to go tell the Hebrews who I am and what I've told you. And so he does. And so Moses, he had escaped from Egypt. He was one of the slaves. He grew up in Pharaoh's house. And then he had escaped. And he goes back into Egypt. And he tells them, Jehovah has appeared to me. And he's told me, you're going to be delivered from your captivity. You're not going to be under the slavery of the Egyptians, the hard bondage that they've put you under. God is going to deliver you, and I will lead you out of captivity. And so after, okay, so now Moses knows who God is. He knows God is above all. He is almighty, and there's nothing that can compare to who our God is. And then now the Hebrew children know who God is. The slaves know who their God is. And although their taskmasters were strong, Egypt was the strongest nation on the earth at that point. They knew our God is stronger. So Moses knows this. The Hebrew slaves know this. And now Moses has to go tell Pharaoh this. Pharaoh, the king of the strongest nation on the earth at that time. And so when Moses went to go tell Pharaoh, we see that in Exodus chapter 5. You can turn over there if you'd like. Exodus chapter 5, the first two verses. This is the first time that God sends Moses to Pharaoh. And Moses tells him this. And afterward, Moses and Aaron, Moses' brother, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." So Moses knows who God is. The Hebrews know who God is. And whenever they give Pharaoh a command from the God of all gods, from the God of creation, Pharaoh laughs in their face and kicks them out. And so God sends them back, which is mercy, because God didn't have to do that. God sends them back to Pharaoh, and he gives them a sign to show Pharaoh. Turn over to Exodus chapter 7. Look there in the second verse. And this is God speaking to Moses. He's sending Moses back to Pharaoh after he had just kicked him out. Look there, Exodus 7, verse 2. It says, "Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." And when you see that word Lord in all capital letters, it's, of course, we know it's the Hebrew word Jehovah, which we already know is the self-existent God, the one who is not dependent on anyone, on anything. You see, everything else that we know in creation is dependent on something. But God is the only one who can stand in his own power. And so he's saying the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. I am the God of all creation. In verse 5, he says, "When I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." And so the Egyptians would learn who Jehovah is. Even though Moses and the Hebrews knew, the Egyptians did not. But God said, "I will reveal myself to Egypt." Remember, he's reintroducing himself to mankind. And so the Egyptians would learn what the Hebrews and Moses already knew, and God's people would be delivered from their slavery. And God told Moses, "Okay, Moses, when you go back to Pharaoh, he's going to demand a sign from you. He's going to want to know, okay, prove to me that your God is who you say he is. And so, Moses, I'm going to give you a sign." And he told him to take his staff that was in his hand, his shepherd's staff, and to throw it on the ground, and it would become a serpent. And then he would pick it up by its tail, and it would turn back into the staff, right? And that's exactly what happened. Moses went to Pharaoh, and he gave him the message, "Pharaoh, let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "Show me the sign." Moses threw his staff on the ground. It turned into a serpent. And then the magicians of Pharaoh came, and they said, "Oh, well, we can do that too." And so the Egyptian magicians, that's a hard one to say, they took their staves and they threw it on the ground, and they all turned into serpents. And then Moses' staff ate the Egyptians' staves. And so God's sign still prevailed, and God revealed himself to Pharaoh, and he says, "Look, I'm not kidding. Let my people go." Now Moses had been God's messenger, and he delivered the message to Pharaoh that he should let the Hebrews go. He should let them go to worship. Jehovah had revealed himself to Pharaoh twice. Not once, but twice. He had warned Pharaoh, "Let him go. Pharaoh, let them go." But Pharaoh still did not understand who he was dealing with. He still did not believe that God was who he said he was. The Egyptians didn't believe that God was who he said he was, but they would soon find out that it was a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so God began to send plagues to Egypt. Look there at Exodus 7, verse 14. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go, Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this shalt thou know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water. Now jump down to verse 21. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. So they copied God's sign, God's plague. They did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And so God turned the waters of the Nile River to blood, the mighty river of Egypt that sustained it. God turned all of that water into blood. All of the water in Egypt, he turned it into blood so that they had nothing to drink. And it was a sign to them that, look, God is not kidding. Let his people go. That's what he was telling them. But Pharaoh still hardened his heart, and he still refused to do what God had told him to do. And then after that, God made frogs to come up out of the river. Moses told him, let my people go, or God's going to bring frogs upon you. Pharaoh refused, and God brought frogs up out of the river. And Moses went to Pharaoh, and he told him, they're going to infest the entire nation of Egypt. They're going to come into your houses. They're going to come into your bedrooms. They're going to come into your beds, into the ovens, into the kitchens. Pharaoh, they're going to be everywhere. And Pharaoh's magicians did some of their witchcraft, and they brought up some frogs too. But after a while, Pharaoh said, all right, I'm done with the frogs. Moses, you call off the frogs, you get God to take them back into the river, and I'll let you guys sacrifice to your God. And so Moses prayed to God. God moved the frogs out into the river. And Pharaoh still refused. He hardened his heart again. And for whatever reason, he's not understanding Jehovah is who he said he is. And there's been two signs already. And then after that, God told Moses, Moses, strike the dust of the ground. He took his staff that had become a serpent. He smote the dust of the ground, and it became lice and infested the entire nation of Israel. And what's it say? And the magicians in Egypt, they tried to do that as well, but they couldn't copy that. And they said, Pharaoh, this is his God doing this to us. Pharaoh, we can't do that with our magic, with our witchcraft. We can't do that. Pharaoh, this is serious. This is his God. But Pharaoh still hardened his heart, and he refused. There's lice all over the nation of Israel. Like, it's uncomfortable. No one likes lice. And he's not getting the idea that, look, God is serious. Let my people go. Pharaoh refused. And so then God sent Moses to Pharaoh again. And he said, Pharaoh, let my people go, or else I will send swarms of flies upon you and upon your people, and they will cover the entire nation of Egypt, Pharaoh. So after the flies came, Pharaoh's like, all right, that's enough. You get the flies to leave, and I will let you sacrifice to your God. But Moses, don't leave Egypt. And Moses said, oh no, no, we're not doing this on your terms. God told us we need to leave to sacrifice to him. And Pharaoh said, okay, fine. All right, Moses, you can leave. Just get the flies out. And so Moses prays to God, the flies leave, and Pharaoh doesn't let them leave again because he has a thick skull. And then God said, Pharaoh, let my people go. And now it's getting serious. Up until this point, it had been kind of minor things, but now God's getting serious about it. He says, Pharaoh, let my people go, or I will send a disease upon all of your cattle, upon your horses, your camels, upon your donkeys, your oxen, everything, Pharaoh. And whatever is infected is going to die. Let my people go. Pharaoh hardened his heart. The cattle died. All of the cattle died. And he still refused to let the people of God go. And he's not getting the picture that, look, this God is not a God to be messed with. But he still hardened his heart. He wouldn't let the people go. He would not obey. He would not submit. And so God told Moses, Moses, take a handful of ashes. Go before Pharaoh. Take the ashes and throw them in the air. And he did it. And that those ashes became small dust that blew across the nation, and they became boils from head to foot on man, beast, everyone in Egypt except the Hebrews. Everyone who had puffed themselves up in pride against God, they became infected with these boils, and they couldn't even stand. The Egyptians, magicians, they couldn't even stand in front of Moses because of these boils. It was awful. They couldn't stand in front of Moses. And Pharaoh still hardened his heart. He still refused to let the Hebrews go. And then God said, Pharaoh, let my people go. He's in physical pain now. Not only have they dealt with lice, not only have all of their cattle died, he's in physical pain and he's still refusing to submit to who God is. Pharaoh said, let my people go, or Pharaoh, I will send all of my plagues upon you and upon your people. Pharaoh, you might be strong, but you cannot stand up against me. Pharaoh, look, I have lifted you up. Pharaoh, I have made you great so that the entire world will know who I am. Pharaoh, I have lifted you to a position of prominence so that the whole world will understand that Jehovah is not someone to be trifled with. He is someone who you will obey. Pharaoh puffed out his chest. And he refused to submit to God. And he said, Pharaoh, let my people go, or I will send hail and fire from the sky, and I will send thunder like you have never seen before. It'll be upon you, it'll be upon all of your servants, and whatever is not inside will die. And Pharaoh said, go ahead, do it. And God did it. Because he's not kidding. He said, let my people go. Pharaoh didn't, and he sent hail. And whoever still thought that God was messing around and they were still outside, they got stoned to death with hail. Fire ran along the ground and there were thunderings. And Pharaoh called Moses back in and he says, look, this is enough. Call off the hail, call off the fire, call off the thunder. I'll let you go and I'll let you sacrifice to your God already. I get it. I've sinned. But this, and this might surprise you, but Pharaoh still didn't get it. He didn't let the people go. And God sent swarms of locusts, like a lot of them. And so the hail and the fire, it had destroyed a lot of their crops and everything. And the locusts came through and ate everything else. And so now they've been in physical pain. People are dying, cattle are dying, their crops are dying, there's locusts everywhere. It probably still smells like frogs because they were everywhere. And Pharaoh is still not submitting. He doesn't get it. And the Egyptians were crying out to Pharaoh, dude, just let them go. Do you not see what's happening? Give up. We get it. We're done with this. And Pharaoh still didn't submit. And so then God sent darkness over all of the land of Egypt. And for 3 days, it was so dark that they could feel it. I don't even know how to describe that to you. But it was so dark that they could feel it. And Pharaoh still refused to submit. I don't know how you spend 3 days in the dark and not think, you know, this really isn't working out for me. It smells like frogs in here. Everyone has lice. I've still got a couple boils on the bottom of my feet and I can't walk and I can't see anything. And he still doesn't submit. I don't know how that happens. But that's where he was. And so finally, God said, look, that's enough, Pharaoh. I'm not kidding. Let my people go. And if you don't, I'm going to kill the firstborn in all of your family. From you, Pharaoh, to your servants, to the lowliest man in the dungeon, every single person who does not obey me, I'm going to kill the firstborn, Pharaoh. Let my people go. And Pharaoh refused to submit to God. And so those who obeyed God were spared. But Pharaoh, his firstborn, died. And the firstborn of Pharaoh's servants died. The firstborn of all the people in Egypt died. And this finally, finally brought Pharaoh to his knees. And he said, Moses, get out. And all of the Egyptians, when the Hebrews were being ushered out of Egypt, they were throwing silver, gold, whatever they had at them, and they were just celebrating. Finally, they're gone. Finally, we've been delivered from these awful things that have been happening to us. But, and this is what happens, and any parent can tell you this, that submission is not the same as obedience. I've worked on a bus route. I've seen it before. You tell a kid, sit in your seat, and that kid looks at you. No. So you look at him and you say, Oliver, sit in your seat. And so he sits in his seat, but he sits there with his arms crossed. And you can see it on his smug little face. And he's like, if I were any bigger, I would not be in this seat. But because you're so big, I'm in this seat. He's not obeying. He's just doing what he was told to do because you're bigger than him. And that's exactly what Pharaoh did. Doing the actions that God wants is not the same as honoring God for who he is. Remember, God said, I will honor myself upon Pharaoh and upon the Egyptians. Pharaoh did not honor God. He submitted for a short time. Now the Hebrews were finally free. After 430 years of being slaves, they were free. They were free to go. They knew who their God was. They were going to worship him. They were going to serve him. Everything seemed great. They had a bunch of gold and silver because the Egyptians couldn't get them to leave fast enough. And they went exactly where God told them to go. Those really hard names that we read at the beginning. And I did practice those because I saw those. And I'm like, oh man, I don't want to read those. But they went to that place. I'm not going to read it again. They went where God told them to go. They were obeying. But after he had seen all the water in Egypt turn to blood, they couldn't drink any of it. After he'd seen frogs come up out of the river and infest the entire land, after everybody had gotten lice, after the flies had been everywhere, the locusts had been everywhere, there'd been hail and lightning, people are dying left and right, and after his firstborn child died, Pharaoh still hardened his heart and refused to submit to God. He still thought he could overpower Jehovah. Now look back at Exodus 14. Look at verse 5. And this is after the Hebrews have left. They think they're scot-free. Look at verse 5. It says, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, the Hebrews fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea, beside those places. And you might be asking the same question that I am asking myself still, is what is wrong with this guy? After everything that he's gone through, and he's still trying to get his way, what in the world, man? This is the closest answer. And this is what I think is true. This is why I think Pharaoh was still doing this. Pharaoh was overflowing with pride. You could see it gushing out of him. And his bubbly personality, everything that was bubbling up was pride. It was disgusting. Pride will blind you to anything else that is around you. You cannot think rationally when you're prideful. Pastor, I'm so glad that he's preaching through about the Ten Commandments, because we really need that, because it's the foundation for everything else that the Bible teaches us. And just a couple weeks ago, he preached, "Thou shalt not have any other gods before me." Pride is when you say, "All right, I am my own God." That was Pharaoh's problem. Was that, look, Pharaoh was going to get what Pharaoh wanted. He was his own God, and Jehovah was not going to stand in his way. And it did not matter what happened to him, what happened to his people. Pharaoh was going to get his way. But we know what the Bible says about pride. Proverbs has a lot to say about it. Proverbs 18:12 says, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." Proverbs 16:18-19, this one's really popular, is, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." One more verse in Proverbs 29, it says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." And so because of his pride, because Pharaoh had to get what Pharaoh wanted, because he was his God, and that was what his God wanted. He wanted to be in charge of the Hebrews. He wanted to possess them. They were his. Because of his pride, despite everything that had happened to him, to his nation, Pharaoh and his people still, they chased after the Hebrews. He said, "We're going to get them back. They think they can run. They're ours." They thought, "We'll capture them again. We'll punish them for rebelling against us. We'll show them who's in charge." And in a blind rage, the Egyptians followed after the Hebrews. After everything they'd been through, they puffed up in pride and said, "We're not in charge. We refuse to bow down to Jehovah." And now the Hebrews were stuck, because they were in that place by the sea. They were exactly where God had told them to go. And they had the sea in front of them and the Egyptians behind them. Nowhere else to go. And they cried to Moses. They said, "Moses, did you take us out here into the wilderness to die? Because, like, we were dying in Egypt. Now we're out here and the Egyptians are coming for us. And now it's going to be, like, really bad. Like, we're going to die an awful death. Why would you lie to us like this? Why would you give us that hope of thinking that we're going to be free? That you would tell us these awesome things about God. Why would you tell us that only to have us get chased down by the Egyptians? Didn't we tell you this would happen, Moses? It would have been better for us if we had stayed in slavery in Egypt." The Hebrews had been told, they had heard about how great God was, but now they were about to see it. God would be honored. Remember, he told us, "Moses, I will be honored upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh." God would be honored because of who he was. Remember who he was, the self-existent one, the one who is independent of anything and who is above all of creation. He was going to be honored because of who he was. Moses encouraged the people. Look at Exodus 14, verse 13. They were afraid. They were panicking. And Moses said to them, "Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." He's exhorting them, don't panic. Stop. Calm down. God is going to take care of this, I promise. And God hears the Hebrews crying out to him, and he says, "Moses, why are they crying to me?" He says, "Tell the people to go forward. Moses, take the staff in your hand, stretch it out over the sea. Divide the waters, Moses." Now remember, they have the sea in front of them. Like it's a deep sea. Some people try to say, oh, it was the Reed Sea. It was like a couple feet deep. But reed and red, they're two different things. They were at the Red Sea. The Red Sea is deep, man. And so they couldn't cross it. And so they have this vast sea in front of them that they can't get around. And they have the Egyptian army barreling down towards them, threatening to kill them. And God says, "Moses, go through the sea. The Hebrews will cross on dry ground, Moses. The Egyptians, I am going to be honored upon the Egyptians because of what I am going to do to them. I will get honor for myself, Moses." And so God put the cloud, he put it between the Egyptians and between the Hebrews so that the Egyptians couldn't see the Hebrews, so they couldn't come close. And then while the cloud was behind them, God sent an east wind and it separated the waters and it dried the ground. And so they had one wall of water on this side and one wall of water on that side, and they were piled up high. And God said, "Moses, go through the midst of the sea." That night, the wind blew, that east wind that God brought, it blew the whole time, and the Hebrews were able to cross the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians, in the meantime, they were going through the cloud, and when they came out on the other side of the cloud in the morning, I had to check for the edge, I thought I was going to fall off. When they came out on the other side of the cloud in the morning, the Hebrews were already across the sea. The Egyptians said, "Now's our chance. The sea's wide open." I don't even think they computed that. Look, the water is stacked up. Have you ever tried to like stack water? Because it doesn't stack. But they were so prideful and so focused on getting their way that they saw, oh, there's a path right through the middle of the sea. Let's go. We can get them. And so the Egyptians started driving through the sea. All their chariots, all their army, their captains, everybody. They were driving through the midst of the sea. And God broke the wheels off their chariots. And it's at that moment when they have water piled up here. And they have water piled up here. And they're stuck in the middle. It's at that moment the Egyptians realized, we messed up. And the Egyptians had chance after chance after chance to give honor to God and to submit and to obey to what he wanted them to do. They had all those opportunities and they refused to bow their knee to God. Pharaoh puffed himself up with pride. The Egyptians puffed themselves up with pride. And because they refused, they did not choose to give honor to God. God took it for himself. And the water that was here came crashing down on them. And the water that was here came crashing down on them. And the entire Egyptian army was drowned in the Red Sea. And the Hebrews were standing on the other side watching. And they remembered the words that Pharaoh had told them, that God would fight for them. And God had fought for them. And he delivered them. The Hebrews had chosen to honor God because they had obeyed, right? But the Egyptians refused to honor God. And so God took it. The strongest nation in the world was brought to its knees. And God sent this message. Remember, God was reintroducing himself to everybody. And he told Pharaoh, "I have lifted you up so that I will be honored. And when he drowned Pharaoh, God sent this message. No king, no nation, and no army can stand against me because I am the Lord. That was the message he was sending. God was honored when he protected his people who were obedient and when he destroyed his enemies who were disobedient. And we still have that choice today. You can choose, okay, I'm going to do what God wants. I'm going to submit. And I'm going to obey him. And I'm going to honor God. Or you can choose, I'm going to get my way. I deserve to get what I want. And you can fight for it. We still have that same choice. But here's what you have to understand after this story. This is what is most important. God is above all of creation. God is above every man. And he will be honored, whether you choose to honor him or whether he has to honor himself because of you. Does that make sense? And so you might be one of his obedient people. I hope that you are. And I think I'm looking around. I don't see anyone who's like, not. Sorry. You might be one of his obedient people. And maybe you're facing problems that you can't fix. You've got a sea on this side and an army on this side, and there's nothing you can do about it. Be still. Fear not. And see the salvation of the Lord that he will show to you. Because God is going to honor himself. You are his child. You are obedient. And he will honor himself in your situation. Proverbs 22:4 says this. It says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. God is going to honor himself. Just be still. Or maybe you're rebelling against the Lord. You're rebelling against what he wants you to do. You're playing a dangerous game. And you need to understand that God will be honored. And either you can choose to humble yourself and honor him, or he can take it from you. Maybe you're new to being a Christian. Maybe this is something, you didn't grow up like this. This isn't something that you're used to. Please, please understand this, that the God who you serve will be honored in every situation. And if you walk away from here tonight and that's the only thing that you remember, good, that's all that I want you to remember, is that God is going to be honored no matter what happens, because that is God's goal. So be still, fear not. See the deliverance of the Lord that he will show to you.